Hello, this is Dave Lewis. Some folks may say to you that the Renaissance men of the world all disappeared at the end of the Renaissance. However, I find myself seated with a true Renaissance man of modern times, pianist Christopher O'Reilly. Welcome.
Dave, you're too kind. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to talk in a threefold manner about your achievements and plans. First of which is, you are the host of the program From the Top.
We have the largest national broadcast platform for the nurturing and celebration of young classical musical talent. We have a weekly broadcast over 200 stations on the NPR and classical sort of network. And it's an hour-long program, and basically it's a variety program. I serve as host and staff pianist, so I interview and accompany these young kids. And it's gone a long way towards making classical music something that people can really just enjoy, not having to know the names, dates, and places of all of the composers and not having to worry about clapping in the wrong place. I think a lot of the lack of interest and enthusiasm in classical music in recent years has to do with the slightly over-ritualization and codification of behavior surrounding the music. And so when you have these kids who are, well, some of them are kids who play classical music 24/7 and really are ready to make a life of it, there are lots of other kids who pursue classical music not to the exclusion of all else, but it's just something that they couldn't live without. And it's those kids that really go a long way towards building the bridge to new audiences. So when you hear a kid talking about his passion for laser tag or skateboarding or bungee jumping, or you hear a girl talk about her recent one-woman exposition on Israeli immigration and all of these theatrical things that the kids get up to, or just their basic enthusiasms about life, you get, as an audience member, a sense that, yeah, I really like this kid, and I'm going to give this music a chance, which goes a long way toward, well, since we have a plethora of musical instruments that we present on From the Top, some of them are out of the beaten path, and so there's quite a lot of fairly new music occasionally appears on the program, and so it's nice to make that bitter pill go down a little bit easier, getting to know and getting to like the performer. And it really does give an audience a chance to give the music a chance based on the conviviality and the empathy that they feel with our young performers. And then, of course, we're celebrating these young performers, you know, the classical musicians who labor away a fair amount of time in obscurity and solitude. We're making a forum so that they can bring their work to a very, very large audience. And it's an extraordinary event in their lives, and we're very happy to have thousands of alums at this point who've come back to the program on occasion, and we keep in touch with them, and we see them going on to do great things in and out of music.
You have rather slyly managed to move some new music into the From the Break segment that you perform.
Right. It's an hour-long program, an hour-long broadcast. And at the halfway point of the program, some stations play what we send them, and others need to break away for local business. And so as a result of that, we didn't want our young charges to be at the whim of local broadcasters as to whether they would be heard or not. So that became my solo spot. And once I started running out of Chopin preludes and two-part inventions and things like that, I made a point of including some of my arrangements, and so this was a kind of a way of tweaking our audience a bit. When we were selling the show initially, we intended to make it a show about all kinds of music, you know, bluegrass and jazz and what have you, but our classical constituents said, no, you play 1 minute of jazz and you're off, mister. I thought this was a nice way of saying, well, I'm going to play what I like, and at that time I was starting to do my arrangements of Radiohead and Nick Drake and Elliott Smith and folks like that. And folks presumed, hearing me as a classical pianist and knowing me as a classical pianist, that I was playing something classical. So when we had our announcer post-announce these break pieces, she would say, you know, that was our host Christopher O'Reilly playing Karma Police by Radiohead. We actually got email into the program saying, who is this Mr. Head and where can I find more of his wonderful music? So Mr. Head was presumed to be a classical composer. And I've also had the opportunity to play a couple of new music pieces. I played Tale of Two Kitties, a David Neil Lewis piece.
Oh, for that piano. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, exactly. A prelude or a bagatelle by Luna Pearl Wolf. I played a Terry Riley piece once on the program. I do have occasion to make that a platform and proselytize for music that I happen to be immediately and spontaneously excited about. So it's a really great, great place to play.
I'm really looking forward to your version of All Tomorrow's Parties by the Velvet Underground. Have you had a chance to play it yet?
Yes, actually, there's an MP3 up on my website. Yeah, you can download it there. I played it live at Sagerstrom Hall in Orange County at our From the Top taping there. And the work with the Velvet Underground music was occasioned by a fan of mine, Hugh McGrory, who's, among other things, among other artistic projects, he's responsible for releasing worldwide a lot of Andy Warhol's films. And so he called, and we had a phone conversation. He asked whether, you know, it might be interesting for me to address the music of the Velvet Underground. And he didn't realize this at the time, but towards the end of Andy's life, we became friends. And Andy would come and hear me play in concert and bemusedly, you know, suggest, oh, why don't you play at Carnegie Recital Hall? You know, you don't have to leave New York that way. It'd be really great. Or I would go on the road playing with the Missoula Symphony and come back with my mini camera like Andy would do, shooting pictures all the time, and I would bring back a whole photo gallery of my travels. And I don't think I ever talked him into thinking that life was of interest at all outside of New York. Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, tried to engage him in conversation about our mutual hometown, Pittsburgh. I said, oh, so Andy, you're from Pittsburgh. He said, I graduated. I took the bus. You know, so he was a very dry man, but really was also one of the most polite people that I ever knew. I think Billy Joel got advice from Groucho Marx once. Groucho said, never forget to say thank you. And Andy was definitely one of those people. So actually, the fellow who introduced me to Andy, an art collector friend of mine in New York, Stuart, introduced me to him and actually in the event was responsible for curating the music for his funeral. Mm-hmm. So I played at Andy Warhol's funeral, and Ultraviolet, actually, in her book, My 15 Minutes with Andy Warhol, really liked the selections that we played. Anyway, so this project that Hugh's doing, you know, with the films of Andy Warhol, one of the other projects that he was doing was a week-long tribute of events for Ultraviolet. And consequently, Salvador Dali. She was his mistress for many, many years. So we came up with the idea of doing a private concert for Ultra. And in fact, I had the idea of doing the concert at Stewart's house, where we'd have all our New York City musicales back in the day when Andy was around. So we had about 30 people there, and I played about 50 minutes, some Radiohead and some Nick Drake and All Tomorrow's Parties. And I also got together a version of Venus in Furs, actually based on the demo version, the John Cale, sort of really sounds like a, almost like an English Elizabethan sort of thing. And so I thought that was a nice way of approaching the song. So I played that and played another couple of things from my list record. I finished with the Don Juan Fantasy. And actually, after I finished playing the transcription by committee of the Prelude and Liebestod of Tristan and Isolde, Ultra piped up and said, that was Dali's and my favorite piece. We listened to it all the time until we wore the record out. So it was really quite serendipitous. And not only that, but both those Velvet Underground songs, All Tomorrow's Parties and Venus in Furs, were songs written by Lou Reed. And another New York art world friend of mine, who I invited to this event, Bill Katz, brought as his companion for the day Laurie Anderson, Lou Reed's widow. So she was there. My gosh. I mean, so it was really quite an event. I'm enjoying very much working on the Velvet Underground material. I'm always working on or thinking about some new song. I think just for domestic harmony. I recently took on one of the songs by Beach House, a real particular favorite of my girlfriend, Michelle. And so I did Lazuli recently. I think that was really sort of like in a Shostakovichian white heat. I think I had it done and mostly learned in about a week. So I think if I go back to Velvet Underground, I'm going to be sort of skewing my interest towards the Nico aspect of things. The Lou Reed stuff I like, but the real rock and roll, the real bluesy stuff doesn't really do much for me on the piano. You know, I can't really do it great justice. I imagine I'll probably do Chelsea Girls or something.
Or Femme Fatale, perhaps.
Femme Fatale is a beautiful song. But Nico, her records, Desert Shore and things like that.
The End.
Yes. Upsheet is a fantastic song. So I'm hopeful we'll get some collaboration going. I was talking to John Hassell about maybe sitting in and doing a Nico song with me one of these days.
That's excellent. Briefly, and lastly, just as a regular pianist, you're going to be appearing in Xavier University's Classical Piano Series on September 28th. And I'm quite excited about that, as I'm a person who has long memories of this series, going back to the time I saw the famed Austrian pianist Hans Kahn here, which was like in 1970.
Yeah.
He's still a young man.
Speaking of old pianists, I mean, I played at Xavier University probably in the early 80s. That's probably the last time I was here playing recital there. Yeah, it's very exciting for me to come back.
Well, it'll be great to have you. And also, as a postscript, do you find that your transcribing work is leading you into composition at all?
It is a little bit. I've done a lot of arrangements, and I remember I played a concert that was half and half Robert Schumann and Elliott Smith, and that was in Portland, Oregon, with Elliott's parents in attendance. And they took me in hand and said, you know, you do a lot more composing in these arrangements than you give yourself credit for. They all want me to be a multimillionaire and make film music and stuff like that. So I love that Elliott's parents are watching out for me. I mean, I used to compose things a little bit when I was doing my jazz days, but I hadn't really done anything since then. But lots of people like the arrangements. And so a couple of writers, I mean, I read an enormous amount, and a couple of writer friends of mine have egged me on. The first one was Chris Saknussemm, and his mother is a wonderful pianist in her own right. And they directed a congregation. And funnily enough, the book that he wanted me to write something for was called Reverend America, about an albino orphan turned evangelist. And then it turns into sort of a road novel, and he's doing redemptive things along the way. But Chris actually asked me to write an original piece and had very keen ideas about what kinds of elements should be in it. And I said, nobody's asked me to write anything, but one would have to be an idiot not to be able to write something with the kind of direction. And he has the same kind of encyclopedic knowledge of music that you do, Dave. You'd really enjoy each other. He's much more skewed toward the Motown and gospel aspects of things, but really, really great guy. So yeah, I wrote a piece for Reverend America, and now he's written a fantastic absurdist play called The Humble Assessment, which is an Ionescoan job interview, basically. And so he wants me to write something for that. They're going to make a movie of it. So there I will be on a movie score. Then meanwhile, my very good friend Mark Danielewski had me compose a score and soundscape for a live performance of his ghost story, The 50-Year Sword. And so he and I toured that for a while. We had, you know, multi-narrated performances in New York and San Francisco and Seattle. So Mark's latest novel, he's got a new, really huge piece coming. But the one before that was kind of a prose poem art piece called Only Revolutions. It was kind of a tale of two eternal 16-year-olds. And Only Revolutions is sort of a he said, she said thing. So it's a 45 chapters of his version, and then you turn the book upside down and you're reading 45 chapters of her version. So you can read it in any number of ways. But the point was, he wanted to have, for the ebook, to have a soundtrack. And so he had me compose a summa or overture to each one of these 90 chapters. So I've ended up with about 80 minutes of music. I have an easier time having a little bit of direction. I mean, for instance, with Chris and Reverend America, I was thinking about trains a lot, and I searched out a lot of train horns. You know, you can find a website for anything, and there was somebody who had very meticulously, like collecting bird songs, he had collected all of these freight train horns, and they're beautifully multiphonic. And so I used those. I made a row out of them and did it that way. Mark, apropos this kind of Romeo and Juliet, Tristan and Isolde thing, had embedded in the text the five chords of the prelude from beginning to end of Tristan and Isolde, the Tristan chord, and then ending up in B major. And so I took that as a plan and extended it so that I was going sort of changing one voice at a time, sort of crab-like, going from chord one to chord five over the course of 45 chapters. And so that became the harmonic language of each chapter, and I went from there. So yeah, I do need some breadcrumbs still, you know, but they're pretty neat breadcrumbs.
Well, I know you got a lot to do, and I sure do appreciate you coming in to talk with us.
Well, it's great seeing you, Dave, as always, and great talking with you.
Great to see you, too. Thank you, Christopher O'Reilly. Christopher O'Reilly will be performing at the Xavier University Classical Piano Series on Sunday, September 28th. For more information, please visit our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Dave Lewis.